Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here on this beautiful Friday. Across the country, 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. You know, we haven't had a chance to really get a lot of calls, so throw the number out there for you, whether it's the Chambly stuff, whether it's the hoop stuff, which we'll get into, Jimmy Butler, Isaiah Thomas, whether it's the McAdoo stuff in the first hour, 855-212-4227 as we come to you live from our Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Again, 855-212-4227. All right, so I don't think it's a big surprise. It was actually pretty predictable because he's due for a much bigger payday next year if he opts out, which he will. But by rejecting the four-year, $110 million extension from Minnesota, you know, I know we keep focusing on Kawhi. Where's Kawhi going to go? Who's going to say Kawhi? Is Toronto? What's going to happen with Kawhi? It seems to me that if you really want to get a second star right now, why don't you make an aggressive offer to Minnesota and get Jimmy Butler?
100% agree, BT. I thought this last week. I did a sports minute on it, so it was quick. We didn't really get it. We didn't have time to discuss it, but think about the gripes that he has, and we think about what Kawhi Leonard and why he deserves this exit from San Antonio because his teammates got mad at him, and they were the voice of Greg Popovich in throwing shade his way because he's sitting out and only played 9 games all season long, and they're questioning his desire to be on the court, which is fair, to be honest with you. And he's mad and wants to leave because of that. But he's won a championship, and he's been in defensive MVP. He's been in the conversation for MVP. He's got great teams around him, supporting cast. And by the way, the best coach in basketball, right? This is Kawhi Leonard's situation. He wants out of it because he's a little bit upset that guys were talking about him, really talking to his face, trying to talk to his face. He wouldn't engage them. Whereas when you go look at Jimmy Butler, who's just had nothing but bad luck in his career, after what started from nowhere, like, he was an afterthought.
I think he was a second-round pick.
He was.
Matter of fact, he was, absolutely, at Marquette.
Yep, afterthought. It creates this player that becomes star-ish. In Chicago, Derrick Rose's knee blows up. Then the attrition starts to happen for Joakim Noah. Then his coach, Thibodeau, gets fired. They bring in his replacement, who can't control the locker room. All of a sudden, there's infighting between the old guys and the young guys.
Freddie
Hoiberg. Yep. Old guys and the new guys are fighting. There's just lack of institutional control or organizational control in the locker room in Chicago. And God, oh, blessedly, get me out of here. So he goes to Minnesota, young core, 2 rookies of the years on the squad. It feels like, man, this is my place. I can be a veteran leader here. I'm all about that no nonsense. Oh, and Tibbs is here. It's fantastic. And then he gets there, and those guys don't want to play or don't have the fire to win like he has the fire to win. And it just feels like every step of his career, no matter the highs, the lows, it feels like he can't catch a break. So if anybody has a gripe to want to go somewhere where they can get on a winner, because he's getting close to 30, right, and get on a winner and win that championship and be relevant in the NBA circles, it would be Jimmy Butler, not Kawhi Leonard. It'd be Jimmy Butler.
Keep in mind, though, that's assuming that Jimmy Butler's in the right here. And he probably is. You know, one of the things that this came up the other day, I think it was in inbounds, out of bounds, right? You know, I don't know that he's got a whole lot of flexibility in delivering his message. He is an old school, hardened, he's a throwback guy. He's got no time for nonsense, no time for not hustling, no time for not playing hard. But I got to tell you, I mean, if you're going to have a gripe with somebody, I know that there were points where he was invisible in the playoffs, Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is 22 years of age, all right? His PER last year was 25.
I know.
He's a two-way player. He's not an explosive player. He's not Anthony Davis. But, you know, when you average 22 points, 12 rebounds, and almost two blocks, and you're 21 years old,
yeah,
you're pretty good.
Yeah,
but that's... So is it on him to have a little more patience to let the natural maturation process
sit
in for him and Wiggins,
for
Towns
sure.
and Wiggins?
So to me, BT, he has a gripe, but he also has a fault in this, right? Those stats that you're putting out, that you're telling us about Karl Anthony Towns are mm-hmm. amazing. Most of it is reflective of the regular season, where the game is played differently, right? Night to night, it's just a different feel.
Sure.
The intensity's not there.
Mm-hmm.
We know what happened in the postseason with Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And in fact, Thibodeau actually had to call him out for not being aggressive enough. And sometimes it's the stage. He's 22 years old. He's been in the league 3 years. He doesn't know,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't realize the intensity bump that comes and the attention to detail that matters and the fact that you're not playing a team one night and then going having some drinks and getting on a plane and going somewhere else the next. That's not it, right? You don't just put it behind you, right? It's creating a plan to beat a team four out of seven times, right? It's a different animal that – obviously, those young guys, because that's what I think he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's talking about the postseason. And we all saw that visually with Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns in the postseason. It's on him, right? He's got to teach them that, right? He's got to show them that. Now, how do you do that in the midst of it happening? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to have a degree of patience unless he just feels really urgently that he needs to win now. And be honest, BT.
And given his age, you can understand
but
that.
Given his age, 30s, but also, and yeah. I think this is more important,
mm-hmm.
given what he sees by all his peers, his elder peers, they're going to win championships.
Yeah.
KD,
so you think he's getting caught up in that now, too?
No doubt. KD went to win a championship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron bounced around. This is before, but he bounced around because he wanted to win a championship. And hell, he stated, I'm going to Miami so I can win championships. Kawhi probably is the same way right now. They want to get somewhere where they can win a championship.
At least Kawhi's got one.
At least he does.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, he wants.
Yeah, that's broken. He's
he wants one that's his.
That's broken.
He wants one that's his,
mm-hmm.
not that was Tim Duncan's.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. If I hope that's his motivation, you know, because I don't know.
But what else could it be?
I don't know what. I don't really. I mean, we could theorize all we want. I mean. Maybe Kawhi Leonard's falling out of love with basketball. I don't know. Mm. I mean, I had an issue with his teammates kind of going behind his back a little bit.
Yeah.
Or at least going to Pop. And
well, they were Pop's mouthpiece.
For sure.
That's what they
were delivering Pop's message.
Exactly. You dig down locally, that's what it was all. That's all it was.
But for a two-way player who's been so great to just so blatantly question his professionalism, like in such a raw manner, I don't think there's a middle ground here. Either the players are absolutely right,
yeah.
and he was dogging it.
You're right.
Or Kawhi Leonard's absolutely right, and he was truly hurt and physically compromised, and his teammates are off base.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a middle ground there.
But the latter, right? If yeah. Kawhi was compromised and physically not able, don't you think he owed it to, I mean, forget us in the media. Forget the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he owed it to his teammates?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, I simply can't do this.
I do.
And he did not do that.
Are we sure he never? Maybe he did it in a way that's not quite as demonstrative as others. Are we sure he never communicated to them in his own way?
I have no idea.
Guys, I'm hurt.
I have no idea.
I can't play.
But they kept talking about him all the way up to the end.
They did.
Manu Ginobili, who was as stately a professional as there is mm-hmm. in the NBA, at the end of the season is talking about we can't count on Kawhi, right? So and he's not saying it maliciously, he's just stating a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there was a reason behind that, they would have expressed it, right? And I don't think he told them.
But guys wouldn't have said that about, like, say if Kobe missed, you know, 70 games mm-hmm. and they're coming down to the final 12 and it's like, all right, if he's not on the court soon to get rid of this rust and prove that he's healthy for the playoffs, then he's just not a factor, he can't play. For guys wouldn't say that about players who are fully engaged. You know what I mean? Like, if they would say, hey, listen, we know, hopefully we get him back. They wouldn't say that we have to move on. Like, I thought Ginobili, while it wasn't vicious,
mm-hmm.
it was very definitive, and there was no interpretation anything other than
it was no nonsense.
We're moving on.
It was no BS. It was just, this is what it is, man. I've been around long enough to know that you're not here. I can't count on you. We got to go forward.
Yeah.
Right? I can't get caught up in, oh, I wish you could. You can't win that way.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they weren't good enough to win anyways. But still,
No.
They had to try, and they're not, they're a team that was veteran enough and had enough success that they were going to try. So they tried. It didn't work.
Let me ask you this. Isaiah Thomas, let's switch back to him for a sec. Isaiah Thomas, you know, you can't help but feel badly for him.
Oh, man. I mean, where's the Brinks truck, right?
How much money he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
What he went through so publicly with his sister who was killed during the playoffs. I think it was an ESPN. It would have been Eastern Conference. I remember I had an issue. I remember saying it on the air. I had an issue with ESPN showing him on camera on the bench, tearing up and inconsolable, understandably, as long as they did. Think about how poignant that stretch was and how we all fell for him. And now here he is. He's not a kid. He was a second-round pick, so he didn't get the big bucks out of school, out of Washington. He's bounced around now.
Yep.
And now he's with Denver for a one-year, $2 million deal.
Yeah.
Listen, he very well might be finished if that hip is a problem, but what if he's not? What does that do with Denver now?
It's interesting for Denver, and you're right about his, you know, his what he's making right now. I mean, he's where he was 2 years ago. He's making at least $27 million less than he could. At least. $27 million less than he in 2018-19 from where he was 2 years ago till now, at least projecting, he's making $27 million less than he could have. That's insane to think about.
Yeah, it is.
It is insane to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about the roller coaster of success and failure and emotion that he's gone through, but he feels like he's a tough enough kid to not feel sorry for himself and just sulk and become a shell, but to fight through it. And then obviously the key to it is he's got to be healthy, right? His hip can't have problems like it did coming back probably way too early in Chicago last year. Cleveland last year.
Yep.
And becoming more of a liability on the court than he already was. And then speaking about it, which made it, just compounded it, right? Just made it worse. Like he'd been there for 5 years. He'd been there for half a minute.
Like the state of the Cavs, according to
the
Isaiah.
The good thing for Denver right now is that they've smashed themselves underneath the luxury threshold. So there's room there. Even not this year, there's room there. They re-signed Will Barton. They re-signed Jokic. And the team has it has a future, right? And you feel it. And it feels right. And if Isaiah Thomas can reprove himself, I think there's life in him. There's life in his career. It's not, and for a while, I felt like he was just dead. It was over. It was done. There's a chance for life, even though it's not guaranteed.
I like where Denver's going.
Yeah.
By the way, he knows Mike Malone.
Because Mike Malone was in Sacramento with him.
Denver, 46 wins last year, right? Sixth overall in offense here. Lakers, 35-47, obviously minus LeBron. I ask you right now, who's got the better record next season? Lakers or the Nuggets? Do you flinch?
Probably Nuggets.
You say that? I said that to Mike this morning. Yeah. Mike asked me when I walked in. Yeah. I said Denver.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Sam just tell me. He's like, go look at the – and I haven't done it yet, but go look at the roster. It's just position by position.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's young in Lakerville, and they'll get there. And hopefully LeBron accelerates it for some of those guys. But if you just put it on paper right now, we're playing – like paper video game.
Advantage Denver.
I agreed.
Well, and it's that youth. And let's get to this coming up next here. Rob Pelinka, Lakers GM, what he said about the trajectory of the team, the direction, the potential, the goal, how they're trying to combat the Warriors, obviously. You talk about the youth on the roster. You're going to have to explain to me how that timeline's going to work out, because by the time those young guys actually mature, I just don't see it. I don't know if Pelinka's trying to fool himself or if he's really truly the smart one in the room. And I do think he's smart.
I do too.
But I'm not feeling what he said about
this. His justification for Lance Stephenson, I was like, huh?
Lance Stephenson. Huh? I like him more than you, but
Not how he justified.
855-212-4227. Getting to the Lakers. Coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Yo, Sacramento, where you at? My favorite part of this. I don't know why I always say that. Sacramento, where you at? Yo, Sacramento. We're talking California basketball, which is pretty good. Pretty well, I mean, Northern California, it's about as good as we've seen in quite some time. Southern California, They now have LeBron, and we'll see what the Clippers do here. I want to play something for you. Rob Pelinka, who I've always thought is a very astute, very smart basketball person, former agent. And when Kobe gives him the stamp, I mean, Kobe's a basketball genius, as we know.
A little biased, but that's all right.
What's that?
A little biased, but that's all right.
Yeah, true, but he's not going to put himself out there like that if he doesn't fully believe in Rob's ability
to
get
it. Well, he did well by Kobe, so of course he's got his back.
All right. So here's what Rob said about Rob Pelinka, his approach, the Lakers' approach in building the roster to eventually take down the Warriors. Go ahead, guys.
To try to play the Warriors in their own game is a trap. No one's going to beat them at their own game. And so that's why we wanted to add these elements of sort of defense and toughness and depth and try to look at areas where we'll have an advantage. One of the ways to attack what they have is with defensive toughness. I think we saw that in the Houston series with some of the players that Houston had.
Okay. Now, right there on the surface, I'm actually going to co-sign that, because if you look at the early stages of the Warriors dynasty, they had Bogut, who was tough as nails.
Yep.
They had Pachulia. He just left. Who was you know, he didn't, his minutes were diminished at the end, but Pachulia is a tough guy.
Yep.
Not afraid to mix an elbow when he sets a screen, a big thick, you know, he's a tough guy. I don't think
tough
ever
meaning dirty.
Yeah. And I don't think every NBA fit. I think that when he first came in, because he was kind of a jump shooter. Remember, he came in with Atlanta. I think Atlanta was his first team. I think it was. And, you know, I don't know that he ever got the respect as being a tough enforcer that Pachulia is a tough guy. And what Pelinka just said, it carries weight, because the one way, I do agree, to beat the Warriors is to try to out-tough them.
Yeah.
Is to try to, you know, Steph is slight. Klay Thompson's relatively slight.
Yeah.
Draymond's tough but short.
Yeah, right. You put bodies on them and you rough it up and don't make the shots. Even if they're going to make them, you don't make them easy. So it wears them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Pelinka also was talking about, he's making some comparisons about the dynasties of the Chicago Bulls and how they got to where they are. One of the points that he pointed out for the reason he signed Lance Stephenson is because Michael Jordan had Dennis Rodman, right? Dennis Rodman was an ass. And so we get a guy like Lance Stephenson, he's going to be a pain in your ass.
Yeah, but in the 90s, the NBA allowed Dennis Rodman to be an ass.
I agreed. And nowadays you can't, right? That's why over the years, as effective as it felt like Lance Stephenson was against LeBron James, he actually wasn't, because what can he actually do?
Mm-hmm.
Because physically, he just wasn't strong enough. But that mentality is important, right? So while the comparison to what Dennis Rodman was for the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan to the Lakers and LeBron James is asinine, I think in theory and with the plan makes sense. And at the very least, they have a plan, you know, and not just say, well, we're going to outscore the Golden State Warriors. We're going to outrun them, which you just can't do. Even a team like Houston, who it was as close as anybody could have gotten to outrunning the Golden State Warriors, ultimately fell short of that. You can't do it. So having a different type of attack, I think, was important for the Lakers. Not that it's going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm. Physicality is not a bad way to go, as much as they'll let you get away with in the modern NBA. I think the way, and this is tough with cap restrictions, but it seems like they've circumvented this at least for a year with the 1-year contracts that they've given out.
Yeah.
How do you really beat the Warriors? I don't want to put it that way, because they're still top of the mountain. How to really challenge them? I would say have yourself a good second unit, because the Warriors have no depth.
No, you're right.
They don't have any depth.
You're right, especially as the bench, and they lost some of those guys on that bench. They get older and less effective. I mean, hell, even JaVale McGee, he was amazing, just because you put him in the game and everybody's small, and it's just alley-oop after alley-oop after alley-oop. He plays for 10 minutes. They say, we got to put a big in there. You take him out. He sits down for the rest of the game.
Yep.
All right? And so they lose those pieces. I think when you look at Houston, though, like Houston had the best obviously, game plan against the Warriors, which is you have to have at least three great shooters on the court all the time.
But they had no depth.
And that was
their
the problem.
Their bench was thin.
And that was the problem.
Yep.
Once those guys either got tired or went cold, you were stuck.
No options.
Or injured, as in the case with Chris Paul. You had no options.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when I think about Lonzo Ball, let's throw Lonzo in for a second. Does Lonzo Ball, forget about how he can't shoot. Mm-hmm. He's going to smooth that out a little bit, but at least percentage-wise. I don't know if the shot's going to look radically different. I think when he gets used to the speed, the closeout speed, because he was pretty good shooting the ball at UCLA from downtown his only season, he'll become a competent three-point shooter. Yeah. But based on what Pelinka just said about physicality and toughness, does Lonzo Ball fit that criteria?
Well, I think defensively he does a little bit.
He's 180 pounds. You push him right in the chest, he goes back 5 feet.
Well, physically he can't do it.
That's
yet.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, so to answer your question directly, no. But can he? Yeah, I think principles, he's right. Like, he knows how to move his feet. You see him trying to do it. But in the NBA, especially against some of these men that have been around for a little bit, they let you put a little shoulder into it. You put a little shoulder into Lonzo, I mean, he's going exactly where you want him to go.
Remember what Patrick Beverley did to him on opening night?
No doubt.
I mean, it was a mismatch. It was a blatant mismatch.
And that was Patrick Beverley.
Well, he's a great defender, though. He's one of the best defenders. He's tenacious.
I agree, but still, it was Patrick Beverley's not a big man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
when you get bigger, rangy, longer, a Kawhi Leonard type, On
a switch or something.
On Lonzo, yeah. He's dead. He has nothing.
He's dead.
He can't do anything.
He's dead.
On either side, by the way.
His I know he hurt his knee, obviously. So shooting and some of his offseason workouts going to be curtailed. Looks like he put on some good pounds up top, though.
Yeah, that's what they said early on.
His waist, and you know more about his strength from the waist down seems
it's harder though.
Pretty.
That's much harder to do.
Oh, right. I hated doing. I never did legs.
Yeah.
Legs don't get the girls.
Yeah,
waste time on legs in the gym. Just pump up.
Chicks
the chest.
Dig the long ball, man.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Oh, it's hard to get you if you're born with skinny legs and like no behind.
Yeah,
it's hard to get those.
You gotta do repetitive.
Leg day sucks.
You gotta do. It's not even leg day. You gotta do repetitive things like ride your bike everywhere. Or, it's things like that. That's how I got the thick legs when I was younger.
Yeah, but you're a natural athlete. Come on.
I know, but I was skinny.
Thin too.
But I was skinny. Just riding my bike and then eating like a horse.
Oh, man. What are you doing this
Peanut
weekend?
Butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly, huh?
That's what you ate? All the time. Dude, we were poor.
What, in college or at the Giants?
Everywhere. You get used to it when you have nothing else. PB&J. What do you I'm hungry, Mom. All right.
Oh, growing up. Oh, I hear you.
Yeah. So when you get to college, it's like, I'm hungry. What do you get?
Yeah.
Peanut butter, processed jelly.
Didn't you guys have like a trainer's table where you have?
Oh yeah, but it wasn't open all the time. You know this
back
PT,
in the day. A little
it's
different.
Like when you're a young athlete, whatever, 19, 20, you're starving.
You're eating at midnight.
You were starving all the time.
All the time
because you're working out. You're always on the move. Mm-hmm. You're up early for classes. You got to go to practice. You get a lift in. Mm-hmm. You got to go back to classes or study hall. You're starving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So PB&J.
With the crust cut off. All right, we got Axe up.
I crushed the crust.
Did you? D-Cell, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to a wedding, by the way.
I know.
I got a wedding
weekend. It's going to be a fun one, huh?
It is.
D-Cell, what do you got going on this weekend?
I don't know. I don't make my weekend plans anymore.
Hey.
Because I'm the boss.
He's hitched.
Whoa.
It's been a while since we talked about this.
We haven't badgered him in a while, and I think we're going to have to do this for a minute here.
Especially because she's now the boss.
The boss?
She was like a friend. Can you like take a picture?
Say she's just a friend. Now she's the boss. You have we got to have a talk during the break.
Wow.
I know you're serious with her, and that's awesome. And she seems like an awesome girl. But you have relinquished power? You're that docile already?
It happened. That's a confident man who's not afraid to give up a little bit of himself to his woman.
If confident means pushover, sure.
You know, we already know you're whipped, Samter. Stop.
Wow.
We already know. You're already giving up the closet. Samter's giving up his closet.
Yeah, but I've seen her. That's not. I
know, but she's moving in.
I can see D-Cell's girl, and I'm sure it's worth it too, but. What's that? The closet?
His girl,
oh, that's right.
His girl's moving in.
Oh,
he's giving up the closet.
Well, he has to.
Not the whole closet.
What do you get? You get like a
no. There's like three bars to hang stuff up. I get one of them.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Listen,
and I threw away a lot of like old crummy stuff too.
You better not ever get divorced.
Yeah, true.
Half, a little more.
No, a lot more.
That's true. Not half. D-Cell, that's a little. I gotta be. That's a little disturbing to hear it. That 6 months in the relationship, just about the boss.
Oh.
I mean, I hesitate, even though on a lot of levels, Jen is the boss with certain things, and the certain things I'm the boss, but I would like stutter if I had to say that Jen's the boss now. We've been married since 2010. The boss after 6 months.
I'm not going to fight it.
Oh, Teak.
Happy wife, happy life.
It's not his wife yet.
He's at that age where...
Kellen Carr, he hates when we get into this stuff. I can just tell. You know we're just bagging on you. But that when you... Listen, I would have moved on, but when you dropped the word boss, I'm sorry, that just jumped out. That just caught my ear. I had to circle back to that. We'll let you off the hook now.
I wonder if I'll meet her before I meet
Santa, what are you bringing your girl in, man? Now, I just met her at the airport just because we... What was that, coming back from the Final Four or Super Bowl?
Super Bowl,
it was Minnesota Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got Bermuda coming up, so it might be a little bit...
Making those exotic trips. Uh-oh. No kids.
Bermuda's really not that exotic, though. It's like an hour and a half flight from New York.
It's 2 hours. It's right off North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's easy.
It's super...
No, but I mean, it sounds an exotic feel.
No,
palm
for
trees
sure.
And, you know.
For sure.
There's nothing like those exotic trips with no
kids.
You're
not on the contiguous United States.
Just lay around, drink all day.
It's not even the United States, is it? What is it? It's
what, Bermuda?
What's it a territory of?
It is a... it's a Caribbean territory.
It's British.
Part of it.
British, like the British Virgin Islands?
No, not the... I don't think it's all British.
It's a British overseas territory.
British? The entire island? Wow. I didn't think
British
the entire island
overseas
was.
Territory. I learned something today. I did not know that.
All right. And we learned something as well. Our engineer's got no backbone. I'm just kidding, Diesel. You know that, buddy. Let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. And we'll see what's happening on Twitter. Update the poll. Axe update is right now. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. By the way, lucky D-Cell forgot about his backbone that segment. His girl was watching. So if he said something to the contrary,
really?
She was watching. She was watching on CBS Sports Network.
Hey, it's Friday. You never know.
You never know. She's at happy hour with the girls. That's right. That's my man. I got him around my middle. I got him on my finger. That's my man. I got him whipped. That's right.
Well, maybe she was at the bar and didn't actually hear anything.
That's a possibility as well.
No, she heard it.
We'll get to the blast coming up. Also, Teak, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day right now, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is, all right, so this one from Kevin Milano at KYUMOE5. Is there going to be a market for Isaiah Thomas if he plays well for the Nuggets this season?
I think so, but it might be right back with the Nuggets. Depending on how much he helps and maybe advances what they've already started to build.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with him is...
Not a huge one, though.
No, I mean, a common reference point would be like Lou Williams. Can he have that kind of back end of his career? Lou Williams, sixth man of the year. He just comes off. He goes nuts. He bangs it from all over. He's just a big-time scorer. But Lou Williams is 6'1". I mean, when you're 5'8 and you're 30, I believe that the money that he lost will never even remotely be covered. Sadly.
No, he'll never get that back.
If he's even healthy, if he's fully healthy, I think it's still problematic, but we're rooting for him. Good guy. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You ready to blast away here on Tiki and Tierney? You ready to go here,
Tiki? I am.
Here we go. DeMarco retires. DeMarco Murray retires. Now, here's the question. Did his 392 touches in carries, not even touches, back in 2014 with Dallas, did it ruin his career?
BT,
you played the sport.
Almost 500 touches in that year, to your point. I don't think it ruined his career, but it I always say it's a function of carries, and he had a bunch of carries before that year when they finally got that offensive line straight. Think about how long ago that was. 4 years ago we were talking about this offensive line.
Wow.
He just got beat down, and obviously he became expendable as Derrick Henry in Tennessee started to develop.
Yep.
I don't think it ruined his career, but it didn't help.
Here's what he went in terms of rushes. 164, 161, 217, 392. I mean, and then, of course, 193, 293, a buck 84. Really good career. Not a Hall of Famer, obviously, but really good career. When he was on, he was pretty good, but that may have ruined him. The Oak Man's back in trouble. Charles Oakley.
This is a stupid reason, too.
This is a dumb reason. Charles Oakley, he's coaching the Big Three.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out in Vegas. He's now facing up to 6 years in prison. He pulled back a $100 chip once he knew that he would lose the bet at the casino. It didn't say what game he was playing.
No.
So you know it wasn't roulette.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a let it ride. Well, it wouldn't have been a let it ride because there's actually three. It was either probably, you know, blackjack. It wouldn't have been poker. Maybe pie gal. I don't know. There's a couple of options. But anyway, is what he did really that big of a deal? I mean, is it that big of a deal on the On the scoreboard of crimes? No, it's not. On the scoreboard of stupidity, when you've got millions, hopefully he saves some money. Yeah, it's asinine.
Yeah.
I was in Puerto Rico last week with the family. And the one night that we actually got away, you know, without Jen and the kids, one night me and Jen's best friend's husband went to the casino, played some blackjack, right? And I would never do it, but I'm like, yeah, I wonder, you know, lost like three or four in a row. And, you know, because you have the side bets. I'm like, what does it really take to pull that back? I mean, I would never do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. You should never do that.
Of course,
get a clue,
because
Charles.
You're never getting away with it.
I bet you some people have.
How?
I bet you some people have.
How? The cameras are there.
I bet you some. You tell me in the history of cheating, every casino in the world has caught everybody who ever pulled back the bet.
I mean, probably not.
I would think not. Come on, Charles. You got Oakley. All right. I love him, but come on, Charles. Jose Ramirez, second in the American League in bombs. He says the rest of the season he's going to skip the Derby to rest up. Is this a good enough excuse for us? The home run Derby, not going in it.
I mean, given the prevailing thought that if you swing like this for as many cuts as you're going to take in the home run Derby, it's going to screw up your stroke. Mm. That's a good enough excuse for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not required to do this.
Nope.
So you know what? If you don't want to screw up your swing, by all means,
hey,
stay
listen,
home.
I got no problem with this.
Me either.
He's played 91 out of 92 games this year for the Indians. He plays every single day, as we know. It's not like he's playing first base where he could rest. He's at third base, a little more taxing. Played 152 games 2 years in a row. He's been in the playoffs. You know, he's not old. He's only 25, but he came up. He's been playing in the bigs for this is his sixth or seventh year. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Right, and
whatever.
He's got to. They're going to the postseason because the Central sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just them.
It's down this year, big time.
But so they're going. So I don't mind this at all.
He's got 28 home runs though. Mm-hmm. He is having a big time season.
Right.
Almost 70 ribbies. TCU's Gary Patterson rips the new NCAA transfer rule. Says it teaches, you and I have talked about this before, says it teaches kids to quit. Mm. Is he right? Quit strong. I'm going to stop because you're not quitting. The literal definition of quitting is to stop what you're doing and then never go back to it.
Yeah, you're right.
So this is more of like a U-turn, going down a different street. Eventually, you're going to play football again. You're just going to play at a different school.
Well, I think he's just saying that he's not they're anti-competition because of the success that they've had in high school and everything they've been told since they were young, successful athletes at a young age, that they deserve to get the opportunity. But in reality, that's not true, man. Sometimes there's guys better than you. And in order to win and in a meritocracy, you got to beat them, right? And not the kids are quitting the sport, but they're quitting on competing. And that's a bad lesson to teach. Now, if it's foregone that you're never going to be able to get that job, like it's not just one guy in front of you, but like two or three, and there's another guy coming behind of you, I understand it. So I think he's a little bit harsh, but I get his point.
Okay. All right, so FIFA says they're going to show fewer female fans at the World Cup.
What?
After groups complain. What are our thoughts on this?
I mean,
not favorable. I mean, don't show women. No, we don't want you to show women. No, especially really, don't show the pretty ones, and really don't show the scantily clad, dressed ones. No, we don't want to see that.
Did people actually complain about
this? How am I supposed to answer this question?
I have idea. Seriously,
I'm actually more incredulous
that people complain about this because I watch as much World Cup as anybody.
You do.
I did not. I didn't even notice this. It's surprising.
I got to be honest with you. I haven't either. Now, you definitely watch a lot more
than
me.
But it's on every day, or at least it was every day on the group stage. It was here every day.
Every day it was on, right to our right, about 5-10 feet from where our desk is right now in our studio. Do you think they meant on social media? Because when they panned on the game, you see exuberant fans after a goal, but I see guys too.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. That's an over yet.
Who was the one who got in trouble with Brett Favre?
Oh, Jen Sturger.
Yeah, she got her known because she was an FSU fan.
Florida State, Brent Musburger.
Yeah.
Brent Musburger.
No, Brent.
No. Not Catherine. No, the one who got in trouble with the Brett Favre thing. Jen Stelter.
Jen Sturger.
Sturger, yeah.
That's what I said.
Sturger. Yeah, I thought you were saying the Musburger. I was confusing.
No, when she was
ones.
At Florida State, Brent Musburger picked her out.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that he was involved one too. I was thinking of AJ McCarron's wife.
Yes, Catherine McCarron.
Double check. I know that it was McCarron. Double check that Brent said something about Jen Sturger. It was favorable, like, oh, there's a pretty girl. Maybe a little bit excessive.
But they used to just show her in the front row
and
like,
did.
Yeah, listen, yeah. watching sports. Kind of want to see something other than guys sweating on a field.
That's fine. You know, we're not going to complain about that. Quickly on TCU's Chip Patterson again. The one thing, too, like, you know, there is nuance here. Like, there are coaches who sell players a bill of goods, whether it's the style that they'll deploy, whether it's the depth chart, and sometimes just to get that student athlete to sign the letter of intent and then, you know, worry about it when he gets on campus in terms of numbers, and there's collateral damage when you do that as a coach. I believe the player deserves the latitude
No doubt, for sure,
get out of a bad situation.
BT, I tell this story often, and if you've listened to our show for a while, you probably heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jacobs, who's a good friend of mine, obviously, he played with the Giants, won 2 Super Bowls with them, went to school at Auburn.
Yeah.
Right? You know who was in his class?
2 top 10 picks.
Ronnie Brown. And Cadillac Williams. In one class, they had 3 starting running backs.
I think both were top 10 picks, weren't they?
Yeah.
Ronnie Brown was top 10.
Maybe top 5.
I think Cadillac was 5. Yeah. 4 or 5.
You're right. In one class, 3 starting NFL running backs all coming in at the same time. Now, obviously, Brandon transferred, but I mean,
number 2 and number 5, Mike just said.
That's ridiculous.
And Jacobs was the best in the NFL.
You're right.
Out of the both.
Right. He won more championships.
Ronnie actually was pretty good. Ronnie did a little bit of the Wildcats.
He won 2 Super Bowls and was a man. I mean, he was the man in New York.
No doubt.
Right. For a few years. So I agree with you, BT. You have to be able to give some of these kids leeways.
Of course.
If you recruit everybody and everybody comes, it's unfair to a couple of those kids.
Yeah.
It is.
And listen, here's the other thing. And, you know, this has been said before. It's not the most original thought, but it's certainly an important one. If a coach can pick up, like if I'm a coach and I say, let's say Tiki's 18 years old and I'm going to get him and Ronde, trying to get them on my campus. Hey, listen, guys. And I look your mom in the eye, and your mom obviously very, very up, you know, very involved and a great woman about education, not just about football. Mm-hmm. Education first, second, third, then football.
Yeah.
So when you go to recruit the Barbers, you're recruiting a student athlete for sure in every sense of the word, and you got to get through to Mama Barber. If I tell Mama Barber I'm going to be there for 4 years and I'll see them, you know, I'll help assist their development into young, responsible men and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a better offer from the Big Ten or the SEC comes. And coach, as I'm in your living room saying this to Mama Barber, I make $10 million more at University X. I leave. There's no penalty. You stay. You get penalized if you want to transfer. It's nonsense.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so unfair.
It is unfair. And it's coming towards a change, I think. But it's just slow. It's really slow.
Way too slow. Like that's pace, an easily
like
correctable
the pace
problem.
Of evolution and changing some of these antiquated rules that just don't apply anymore. Especially when you consider that so many of these coaches are not only recruiting high school kids, they're recruiting the graduate transfer market as well.
That's true.
I mean,
it makes the pool even deeper.
It compounds.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. It is true. All right. This weekend, the PGA Tour heads to TPC Deer Run in the Quad Cities community of Silvis, Illinois. Bryson DeChambeau defends his title. Tiki played with Bryson at the Pro-Am. They said he can't bring his protractor anymore. You see that?
I did, which is nonsense.
I don't even know how to use a protractor. I'm sorry. I'm going to plead ignorance nationally.
Yeah.
I don't know how to use one.
I have no idea. Yeah.
What the hell do you use it for? I used to carry because it made me look smart. I didn't know how to use that thing.
For the angles. But, I mean, seriously?
I mean, come on.
I mean,
listen, in today's world of metrics, I'm sure it helps.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a hindrance. He had it for a reason.
Yeah, but how quickly can you process that?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. All I would need if I'm a pro golfer, give me the quadrants on the green. Tell me where the pin is. Tell me how much. Give me the depth, you know, from the fringe. Let me know how far there is behind the pin. Yeah. So if I have to spit it back, I don't need a protractor.
No.
Did you ever use one of those? Seriously?
No.
Like, I never used one. Mike, you used one?
I mean, in school.
Well, that's obviously. You don't use anything for our show because that would imply that you did something. But, I mean,
I actually did use one, like, when I was moving and I was, like, hanging up different things and trying to get, like, different angles for, like, hanging up pictures and whatever. I use a protractor.
Just use the phone. You got the balancer on there.
I mean, this was, like, 15 years ago when I was in Arizona. I didn't have, like, a cell phone with a leveler on it.
Isn't it amazing what your cell phone has? It has.
I love that.
Literally everything.
It does. No, it really does. Anyway, Bryson defends his title, and with a win, could become the FedEx Cup's point leader. So keep an eye on that. Yeah, really? The John Deere Classic coming up this weekend. CBS.
That's 10 mil.
That's why, back to the 10 mil with Tiger and Phil, I wish that was out of their own pocket. Mm-hmm. Because they would be so, even though they're tight now, Think about how pissed, if Phil had to give $10 million of his money to Tiger and vice versa, it would be a death match. It would be a grudge match. It's not their money.
It would be gambling.
Yeah, exactly. Which would be awesome.
Is that legal?
Well, they gamble. They always have. During the practice rounds?
Yeah.
They always have. That. They don't play without them. Oh, yeah, they always do that. Phil's renowned for that. You play a practice round with Phil?
Yeah.
You better come out with hundreds of thousands.
Here's the thing. Tiger's net worth, $730 million. Yeah. Phil's? 320.
Is that it? Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.